Go ahead. You were saying that Jewish people would drink it as a treat.
Yeah. No, I told you why. See, the Jewish people would, as badly off as they were financially, they would, as I told you at the beginning, that they would do some kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
But non-Jewish people didn't have that, they weren't playing for that. They couldn't get a job, they were on the street, really on the street, lying on the street rope. And see, they were used to a different style of life. They sleep outside. I don't even remember the seeing Jewish people in our city. They don't ever. Because I knew every Jew that lived there. It was a small place.
Was your entire town Jewish, or were there Christians who lived on the outside of town?
On the outside. All Christians lived outside, because they were the farmers. See, there was the kulaks. You heard that the kulaks are a small scale for small care. Because the kulaks were supposed to be rich people after during the revolution. The kulaks became rich people. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, everything was on a small scale.
Did they ever come into the Jewish part of town?
Oh, yeah. They came in. If they had a chicken to sell, they could march maybe miles to sell the chicken that had to sell. So they come to town. Because outside of the town, they had their own little farms, whatever they had there. Or the milk, they bring out milk from the cows to sell.
Were they personally abusive to Jews, or did they just business is business?
No, they weren't, they didn't say it. I don't think there would be maybe 10 non-Jews in a city of Jews. They wouldn't start anything. But they were anti-Semitic. They would grow up to be anti-Semitic. Well, the Jews weren't nice either. They weren't, you know, we had a saying, not a saying, someplace it's written in the Jewish lexicon that, I'll tell you in a minute, that if a non-Jew makes a mistake in giving you change, let's say he's supposed to give you 20 cents change, but he gives you 25 by mistake, that's kosher. You know what kosher means.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's anti-Semitic. See, that's the word for that. See, that you, whatever they do that's wrong, accept it because it's kosher. You're not going to be punished for that.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
So that wasn't, the Jews weren't so nice. See, there was no understanding of Catholics between Jews and non-Jews. But, like now, you talk to people and ask them if you think you're better or Jews are better, or is there such a thing as being better or worse? But at that time, it was so definite that Jews were that way and they're supposed to be the drunkards. There's even a Jewish song that I wish I remember it even to understand it anyway, that only non-Jews drink, but that's not true. Jewish people drink too.
What would happen on the Sabbath? How did you celebrate the Sabbath?
Oh, Sabbath was a little happy. All week long you are saving for the Sabbath. Saving 2 kopecks, 3 kopecks to buy a chicken for Sabbath. And bake the bread that I told you about, because even white twisted bread, if you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did I have special that you couldn't have it everywhere? And you were not allowed to touch fire on Saturday. You know, you weren't supposed to light anything on Saturday. So those stoves that I, building stoves that I told you, that you could heat up,
mm-hmm.
and they stay hot. We used to put in the chicken and the have to, so that Saturday morning when you opened it up and the tea was still hot and the chicken was hot. And you had to wait till evening when you were allowed to use the lighter.
What could you do? What did you do?
My mother would go to shul, you know, to pray and take us along when we were little.
Mm-hmm.
That was half of the day. And and play with the other kids that didn't have anything to do either. So you just played ball, you used to get a ball and all that.
What kind of a ball?
Yeah, that was a rubber ball. They brought them from the big city. Maybe for a couple, for a family, that she said.
Hmm.
We used to play that. And Paris, that I told you about, that was the...
Could you go swimming on the Sabbath?
No, not on Sabbath, no. You're not supposed to do anything. Any physical work, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. So mostly you just were quiet all day?
Yes, my mother used to sit and pray all day long. And he would stick to my mother close by the year later and see what she does and listen to her. And then we had neighbor's kids that were in the same position as you.
Why was your mother so religious?
I told you that she came from a rabbinical family.
Well, you're not religious, and you come from a rabbinical family.
How many years ago that was?
Mm-hmm. I wondered, what did your mother care about? I mean, was she just totally immersed in religion? Was that the number one important thing to her?
Well, she used to take care of me. My father died. She was so young. She was less than 30 years old when my father died. So she had to see that she makes a living for us. So that was part. You had to pay taxes on the house, even if it's little.
Do you think she was in love with your father?
Nobody was in love. Mm-mm. But the respect they had, big respect. He was an educated man. You didn't look for those things then. You looked for a man that would supply, make a living for you, be good to you, that he wouldn't be hitting you. Some of them were living the rights. They do it now, too.
Could your mother have married again if she'd wanted to?
Oh, yeah, but she never... She was afraid that her stepfather would mistreat us, that he would... be strict with us, and my mother was very good natured.
Hmm.
I don't want to say, but Leon takes a lot of my mother.
What kind of clothes did you wear when you were a child? What were they made out of? What did they look like?
It was nothing ready made. You used to buy material,
mm-hmm.
the yarn. And any dressmaker, or you did it yourself if you had a sewing machine and you did. You make just a dress that you fit in, and that was good for years unless you outgrew it. And you had three sisters like we were. So I was wearing my sister's clothes, and my younger sister was wearing my clothes.
Were they in certain colors? Were certain colors popular?
Yeah, they used to come from the big cities. Never done by... Yeah, it was... they had nice material.
Were they long? Did they come down to your ankles or your knees? Or what was the style?
Well, when we were little kids, I used to envy the rich kids. They had short... They were dressed in short dresses, and the underpinnings were shown partially, which was very cute, I thought. I think they do it now here.
A little lace?
Yes, it's lace. But in our case, we didn't have anything to show underneath, so it was a little longer just up to the knees. As we grew older, my mother wanted us to wear them longer, and we weren't supposed to have short sleeves. So the man didn't look at her.
What kind? Did you wear stockings?
Yeah, but knit style. We used to knit them ourselves. see you yes, what are you doing? I needed stopping for myself. My mother did for herself or for us, for whatever that time.
Did you wear underwear, like undershirts and pantaloons?
I will tell you that, see, the same shorts that we were wearing during the day, we also were wearing for the night, at night time. We didn't change.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever wear hats?
Yeah. But they weren't done, we couldn't get them in our city, but I remember an aunt of mine went to Paris, because something she was about to do. So she brought a hat for my older sister. So I was hoping that it would get too tight on her, if it would get to me. So every weekend, you know, when she approached Friday or Saturday, I tried on that and my hair didn't grow to fit into it.
What did you wear for shoes? What kind of shoes were
they? Well, shoes were made to order by shoemakers.
What did they look like? Good.
They were like now. The shoes were, the only they were the high shoes. They never were like short shoes. High.
High no, shoes going up your ankles?
Yeah. Leather shoes. Mm-hmm. They were good, very good shoes that they made. If they struck the right size, you know, they had to fit, they had to make the shoe to fit your legs. Sometimes they were too tight, and then we were in trouble. They had to sell somebody else whom they were a trip and make a different pair. They were expensive too, maybe 2 or 3 rubles.
Wow.
A lot of money.
What did you wear for coats when it was cold? Or did you wear shawls? Or what did you wear when you had to go outside and
dress? Shawls most. You see, the shawls, everyone could wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to fit you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they were very, look at the shawls, beautiful shawls. They weren't made there. Maybe they came even from abroad. I wouldn't be surprised that they made abroad. You know, like we used to get a lot of stuff from Germany, from France, England.
When you were older, or did your mother ever wear makeup? Did women ever wear
what?
No, well, not your mother, maybe, but did older women wear rouge or lipstick?
Never.
What about corsets or girdles or bras?
The young girls, not older people.
Which, all three of those? Or?
I remember these years, you couldn't get them in a store, you had to make it too hard. And I became sophisticated when I was in the bed. So, I had a corset that would pull up the stockings, like they used to have it here inside the center.
Mm-hmm.
And,
were they corsets that you tied to make your waist
tight,
tiny?
Yeah, the waist tiny, and your bust is on the stomach.
Huh. What would you do when someone got sick? Was there a doctor, or did you use home remedies, or what did you do?
No, we had every city, I think, city our side, its side there. But not if you had to have an operation like I did. I had an appendicitis when I was 14 or 15 years old. Then I had to go to Odessa. My mother took me to Odessa. They didn't do it. They couldn't do it anyway. And a lot of kids died. See, then that burst, if you're not in time, to be operated on,
mm-hmm.
with appendix. But I got to address and they did a wonderful job.
What, for something that was milder, that wasn't that serious, like let's say you just had the flu, what would you do?
They didn't call them doctors, Felchers, they called them, I didn't know anything.
Felchers?
Felchers.
Felchers.
But we don't have them here. They were not graduate doctors, but from practice, from his father, and from all the years, they gave you quinine. Do you know what quinine is?
Is it a painkiller?
No, it reduces your fever.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing, see, they didn't know what was wrong with you. Mm-hmm. They just took, it was survival of the fittest. They took chances, they gave a guess, and if that doesn't work, then they tried something else, unless it was something, see, if you ran a temperature. They did have, they could try your temperature. They had the thermometer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ran a temperature, they knew what to do for that.
Do you remember anything else that they did?
For me?
For treatments, anything else?
Yeah, I had, I was almost, I didn't say syphilis, but that didn't, but typhus, I had typhus. So that was around in our city. So I had beautiful air, thick and wavy air,
mm-hmm.
really thick air. So they couldn't put, they were supposed to put ice on my head, ice in a ice bag. Mm-hmm. You know, they have ice bags here too.
Mm-hmm.
So they cut so that it would reach the, they cut half my air just going back, cut it out and use that.
That must have made you awfully unhappy.
Yeah, but see, everybody else did it.
Did your mother ever treat you with anything? For sickness or for prevention of sickness?
Well, this teenager that I told you about, that every hour had it, they had everything was chewing it. Because although they didn't know what, I don't think they knew what it was. But in case you had Veronica fever, this took her, and it seems that it wasn't harmful. Like sometimes you take a medicine here, if you don't know what it is, and they kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But they were sure about that. And then they make you an animal. You know what that means? Mm-hmm. And unless you took real sick, like I took with the appendix, then they would get you operated on you, then you would get to go to a big city.
Did you go to a hospital in Odessa?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. I still existed. When I was there a few years ago, I went to see, they called it the Jewish hospital. That was the name of the hospital, the Jewish hospital, because it wasn't a Jewish name. But there was more than one at the time. Odessa was considered a big city, and then it was on the Black Sea, and a lot of people used to come and go.
Was it an all-Jewish hospital when you went there?
No, it wasn't all Jewish. Non-Jewish could get in too, I imagine, sure. But it was done, maybe it was ended by Jewish people. I don't know why they called it Jewish.
Tell me about your trip there. What happened?
To Odessa?
No, your hospital trip. What was it like in the hospital? Was it like a modern hospital today?
No, nothing like as modern as today, but it was... It was nice. They kept it so clean. The floors used to shine just like the nice bench of it. You know, they always put something back with the legs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what idea about sanitation they had at the time. They did the wrong order, I think. But the doctor did a wonderful job for me because I had another operation here. And they asked me what this one was. And I told them, it's like mine, it's very, very good.
What did they use for anesthetic?
Oh, ether.
Ether? Oh, just a second. How did your mother teach you or train you about becoming a woman when you started, to, you know, puberty, yeah. Your breast, menstruation?
She didn't.
Nothing? Not anything?
Nothing. But I think at that time, you see it, maybe I was 14 or 15, isn't that when they usually...
That's when I started.
Yeah, I think that's when I started. I must have, I think I read someplace about what's happening to a person, a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking forward to that. I thought that would make me... I'll become a, you know, a real female.
So you really look forward to it?
Yeah, I do. I didn't know what expects me, but I look forward to it. And they used to use, yeah, drugstores, and they used to use copy to, you know, to to protect yourself.
Cotton batten or cotton rags?
No, the cotton, the rag of cotton that you, that's in the, not the rag, that cotton that, like you dip cotton in something to, for a child, to clean, whatever you call it.
Cotton batten, I think.
Is that it called?
Yeah, just
so
fluffy cotton.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they used to. And you know, it was so embarrassing. I remember when I was working in that store, because I told you I was working there, and next to it was the drugstore. And, you know, all kids at the 14, 15 are cute. So I suppose I was cute. And when I came to buy it first time, I was all red in my face. Because they knew. When you bought it, they knew that you were menstruating and that was something bad. So I don't think that. They would even joke on it or something like that. I can't even use it or something like that.
How did you know that you were supposed to buy cotton batten? Who told you that? Or did you read that too?
Maybe I read it. I must have read it. Or maybe on a cotton or something like that. So maybe it said that it's good for you. What did you use when you were 16? Well, they have the
Kotex. Kotex. And I read about it too. My mother didn't want to tell me about
she
it.
She didn't want to tell
she
me?
She gave me a book.
Well, that is true. What book is that on?
Did you ever discuss any of this with your girlfriends? Did you ever not just menstruation, but just about being older and boys and things like that?
Yeah. We had a very close friend. I thought she was intelligent. She went to school too. She had two brothers. She was the only girl, but she had two brothers. That one was studying in Austria. He became a doctor there. He knew. She learned from him a lot.
So he told her everything she needed.
So she knew, and then she shared it with me. And then finally we got hold of. I don't think you were at Archbishop, author, a Russian author, Archbishop's name. And he wrote about the relationship between girls and boys and all the secrets. So we locked ourselves, you know, in a bedroom. I think it was holiday like now that it's strict, you're not supposed to read anything, but we read, and that was in Russian. And we read that was happening, that's how you have a child, that how the so nobody, we read the book and nobody knew that we did. That was a secret, you know what I mean?
What was her name?
Sila.
Well, tell me about this job that you got when you were 13 or 12. How come you decided to work in the first place?
I tell you how. Because if I needed a pair of stockings, I couldn't get them, and if I needed a pair of shoes, my mother didn't have it. So we decided that maybe I start working, and you couldn't find jobs either, you couldn't go and just get a job. But this man that was running a beautiful store there, it was one of our presidents had a store like that.
What did he sell?
I'll tell you. The trimmings for dresses, buttons.
Lace and rack?
Yeah, what do you call that store?
Trimmings?
No, but there was one of our presidents, I don't remember which one, that was known that he... what does it matter? See, all the things that you need to make a dress from or something, they have trims and rubber and so I don't know, somebody said to me, I think they opened up that store. It was a newly opened store, and I went up there and I asked them if they needed somebody, and he said, yeah. And so maybe I was getting $10 for a year. See, you wouldn't be paid by the week or by the month. It was a year.
How many rubles did he pay you?
I say maybe 10 rubles for the year. But with 10 rubles, you could buy a lot of stuff for yourself.
How many hours did you work a day?
There was no that doesn't affect ours. We came in the morning, and it was not early in the morning, about 7, 8 o'clock. And then it got dark. In the wintertime, then it got dark. We closed. In summertime, maybe a little later. It was, wasn't a sad time.
Did you run the store by yourself, or was
no,
he there
no.
too?
No, no. He and his wife. And then left by another girl. Sure.
Did you enjoy working there, or did you not like it?
No, I hated it because I couldn't go to school. I wanted to go to school. But then you couldn't go to school without studies or without a dress or something. You couldn't go to school either.
What, was that a rule, that you had to have certain kinds of clothes to go to school?
Yeah, uniform.
Oh, you had to buy a uniform. So you weren't even going to Yiddish school? You didn't even have any
No, that I didn't need anymore. See, I already could read on my own.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, these teachers from Seder were so ignorant. I remember he had a son away from the army or something. And he wanted to write a letter to him, and he asked us to write. All the time, say us all three sisters, she writes them in rather in Yiddish. He could only read it, but he couldn't write it. But we had other teachers, those three brothers that I was referring to before.
Mm-hmm.
See, they were really educated kids, and they taught us how to write and all that. So if that rabbi needed to letter written, he called on us.
So when you worked, you were actually saving up to go to the gymnasium, right?
To the gymnasium. Let's see. No, I didn't say that. Let's see. How did they get it? Oh, I know. See, then I got that home about 16 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cousin who was about the same age, but he was almost, he knew Yiddish very well and Hebrew really well. But he didn't have any formal education. But he was working as a salesman someplace. Not in Odessa, but in the Ukraine that I lived. So I said to him, he was my first cousin, his mother and my mother, their sister. So I said to him, you know, if you'd provide me, if you pay my link, there in Odessa, I knew that he was in love with me, that he loved me. So he said that I graduate maybe to get married. And he felt like that.
How did you know he was in love with you?
He told me. He used to come and he told me. But I didn't. That wasn't bad. And I told him I wasn't sure, but I was so young. And I thought maybe I'll get married, I said. But in the meantime, I wanted to go to the gymnasium and that. And because he was a salesman, not a salesman in one place, he used to go from city to city. So once he came to Odessa, then they had a ball. You know what a ball is? It's not a ball that you play. They had some kind of a...
It's a dance?
It's a dance, yeah. It's a fair. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dancing, yeah. He didn't find me home, so they told him that I was at that place. So he came in and I was dancing with a student. And he looked so terrible to me. This cousin of mine who brought me there.
Had he already paid for your school?
He paid for the tuition.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And this student had us... mentioned it. It was so attractive, and that maybe was my first time at this. Well, when I saw him, I got sick. So I stopped, then I quit. I told him somebody came to see me, and I went with him. And I said to him, you know, I'm so used to this atmosphere, all students. Good city, boy city. I'm ashamed to tell you that because that's where I'm here. So he said, you know, this is the only obstacle. He said, I'll join now. You'll become a student to go to school. Nothing got worse. magazine. But then, I suppose...
So how did you get rid of him?
Well, he already paid for the year, and he loved me. He didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 2-3 years ago it went down like that, till I didn't hear him anymore in Odessa.
Well, how did you avoid seeing him all the time?
Well, because he wasn't there all the time. I told you that he was like, there was what do you call people that go from town to town to sign up. He had something for sale. He didn't carry the picture. He had to ship it. He worked for him.
Did he ever lose his temper at you?
Oh, no. Oh, no. He would never lose his temper. But, you know, I let me finish this story. Yeah, the revolution broke out. I kept on going to school, and he kept on doing his business, and I didn't need him anymore. So this was the end, yeah? So in 1936, I went to Soviet Union.
What's that?
Soviet Union.
Oh, okay.
It's my pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived in Chernivtsi, but you wouldn't know where, but I knew. I especially went there. I knew he was married. And I wrote him that I'm going to be there and I want to see him. And I got a letter, a welcome letter. I came there, and his wife said, first thing she said to me, you know, I'm so thankful to you for not wounding him. His wife said that. And I had so she knew the whole story about.
That's funny.
I was a very bad girl.
I want to go back to your job at the store. Did they think that you were a good worker because you could read and write and so on? Was that one of the reasons you were hired?
You wouldn't believe me if I tell you, but the reason I was hired, because I was a good, at that time, a good looking, they were looking for somebody. See, it was just like now. You can't be a clerk. I don't think that somebody that's not attractive could be a... they knew that I was from a nice family. See, if you're from a rabbinical family, you're from a nice family.
Mm-hmm.
So I was supposed to be from a nice family, and I was young, and I was not that looking. So they didn't expect... I knew what I had to do. If a customer came, I had to sell them.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, the language wasn't a barrier, because if it was the customers were Russian, I was Russian.
Did you give any of the money you earned to your mother, or was it all for you?
No, no. My mother came first. But my mother managed that, because she was very worried that I ended up to this and down there. See, my younger sister could take care of herself much better. She was very capable, and she went to that school that I told you that only 3% of the Jewish people, it was a quarter.
What's the school called?
It was a city school.
City school?
About 5 years in the Russian, you didn't know. A city school, that's a good translation. And there's very few Jewish kids got in there. But she did. And so while she was in school, she kept jobs like that. She could sew very well. That's why we had a sewing machine. I told you that we had a sewing machine because she could sew real well. So she got a job in a rich family, just fixing up things. Like if one eye grew something, or if in the older kid to the younger kid, or the sheet store, or the town, something was wrong. She did all that work, and she earned for herself. So, well, I don't know whether she contributed to that.
Why did you not feel as capable as her?
I just wasn't. It's not a matter of feeling. She was very capable. I will show you the picture. Remind me to show you. She's the one that was killed by Hitler.
Uh-huh.
She was very capable. She was, we always, when we talk about it, we say she fit to the state. See, when I came here, I was provincial.
Mm-hmm.
But she, as though she was living in one of the big cities, sophisticated, and she knew everything. she read and she knew.
What about your other sister?
No, she is blind. She's the one that knew what.
Mm-hmm.
She was a dropout. She dropped out. The other she started out. She dropped out.
Did she have to work then? Or what did she do if she didn't go to school?
Yes. What did she do? She was born. She took her and all the house. She was 42. Everything has to be washed and cleaned. And that's what she was doing.
Was she envious of you, or did she not mind?
She became envious when she began to understand that she's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't know if we can go into that discussion whether she's envious or not. Probably the one you were just talking to, she knows that she told me that once, more than once, she didn't even tell her that I'm a gymnasium graduate. She never knew it till Alisa told her that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was ashamed that she didn't, a young kid, they just don't, it wasn't me to that extent. My sister, my older sister was much above me, and she was the one to drop that right there.
So after you, why did you quit work? What happened that you ended your work there?
Oh, I decided that I might go back to school.
And that was after, what, 2 years?
When I used to see in the morning kids all dressed up in the uniforms going to school, I couldn't help but cry to myself. And there was nobody I could tell the story to, because my mother knew why I'm doing that. And you couldn't talk to your boss, telling them I'd rather go to school than work here.
What about your friend Celia?
Oh, that was later.
That was later.
Yes, it was much later.
So how did you apply for the gymnasium?
Well, you apply and then you go through the examination. See, it works differently than here. You can start out as a child and go from grade to grade there.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what they're doing here, right? But you also can do it externally. It means that you follow the programs that for 2 years you have to go that far, 3 years that far. In my case it was 8 years, but I didn't go for all 8 years. I went for about 6 years. And they give you the program and then you go through the exam, prepare yourself, and then if you make it, you accept it. If you don't,
what were the examinations like? What did they ask? Did you write essays, or did they just ask?
It's mostly oral examinations. They'll ask you what you know, Pushkin, Nabokov, Lermontov, Tolstoy. They don't ask you what you know, but they ask you questions about and you have to answer.
Is it an individual thing?
Individual. Well, they're a group of kids waiting. They take one at a time because you're not supposed to talk to one another, so that you learn something that they know you're really not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
See, up there they took it differently than to here.
Did it cost a lot of money to go?
No.
No?
No, it didn't.
But it was
very... It was already the revolution, in 1918,
mm-hmm.
And everything, when it came to education, everything came down.
But this was before the revolution, when you went to the gymnasium, right?
Then I started out in Odessa, but I came back over the 8 years. I had that in where I came from. I went back home and I graduated from there, from the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
See, this was in Odessa. I told you that my cousin helped me in Odessa.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back to where I lived all my years, my mother. And it wasn't, it was very inexpensive, or maybe nothing.
I'm a bit confused. After you finished the job in the store, then you went to Odessa? Is that how it worked?
No, I still had to go a few years in my city. I was about 14 or 15. I don't exactly know.
Was that the city school that you're talking about that you went to when you were after
No,
Jesus
my sister went. I told you that my older sister went to city school.
What kind of school did you go to?
Oh, that was a... It was a gymnasium.
It was. Well, tell me about the school. What did it look like? Was everybody in one big room, or were there different rooms?
Well, I'll tell you that almost the same teacher almost taught you all everything, because like here you have a specialist and his bone will teach you, geography, mm-hmm. and his daughter will teach you, grammar, and this will teach you.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there were two teachers for all the subjects.
Mm-hmm. And then did they teach kids of all different ages?
Well, it's in different grades.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't combine a 16 year old or 18 year old.
Oh, they didn't?
Mm. No, I said they didn't.
Mm-hmm. But, like, you could be in your sixth year with someone who was younger or older than you.
Yeah, you could. See, they were. I'm sure afraid of that. No,
don't worry.
Because the richer people, the richer kids, mm-hmm. were younger than the poorer kids. Because they started from childhood on, and they had the better chance to learn. I remember I was with kids who, when I got in, you know something? Those rich kids, I used to teach them. You know, if we were in the same class, and the teacher would explain to us, let's say, algebra, they didn't pay attention. But when we got home, they'd come, I had more than one case like that, and asked me if I could help them with the algebra, and they'd pay me for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did that.
Mm-hmm.
They were sent to school. But the poor kids who went to school wanted to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference when you go on your own or you're sent by your parents.
Did you just tutor them in math or in other subjects too?
Mainly math. I liked math a lot. That was mainly.
What other subjects did you take besides math?
Well, you take Russian literature, geometry, algebra.
Did you?
In psychology, we took
psychology.
Law. I don't even know if you'd ask me now, but I remember all the other things. But then you said psychology, okay, psychology. It's not what you have. You go into psychology here, of course. It was just a superficial idea of what it is. They were good teachers, though.
Did you have religious studies?
Religious? No.
How about art or music or...?
Art, very likely. The dancing, they did. They taught you dancing.
Mm-hmm. What about music?
Some of my students, those rich kids, had pianos at home, and I used to come to their house. To teach them, they would be practicing the music and then drop it and get the lesson from me and go back to music.
Did poor people play any particular instruments? No.
Maybe a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, not poor people. Maybe I had one friend that played. I remember she always played I want to tell you, because this is important, about the, I forgot the name, public call, I'll come back to that.
Okay. Did you ever discuss politics or the Tsar or anything like that in school?
No.
Never? That wasn't considered part of your education?
Nobody even did. Well, Jim did. When the Tsar was on, I said, how could you bear even moving your mouth, talking, saying something negative about the Tsar?
Did you find that your teachers were rather conservative, or were they liberal?
Conservative.
Did they relate to the students from, you know, they were very authoritarian,
yeah,
and you were nobody?
Sure.
They didn't.
But that way you couldn't say a question twice, something. Whatever they said.
That went.
Yeah. Hmm. You didn't dare say anything.
Did you have a lot of homework?
Yeah, they accept it, basic life is it, metaphysics. Not a bulwark can stand.